This is an MUT Radio podcast.
We are talking all things UIF. So here is our guest, Miss Cindy Swambonambi. How are you today?
I'm good, and how are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for your patience. You are finally connected, and now we can get into it. So, yes, let's jump right into it. You are based in Johannesburg. You are a UIF knowledge specialist and registered practitioner. So, can you share your journey, how you became a UIF knowledge specialist? Yeah, how did we get here?
Okay. I was minding my own business basically on the social media platform. I'm one person who likes to read, right? And I saw the previous guests were talking a lot about reading. Mm. And then I realized a lot of applicants were not getting the accurate information, or they were somehow misled. And there's a lot of misconception in terms of what is UIF, what does it do, how it was established. I started digging deep and do a lot of research, and boy, it was a lot to learn.
Mm. And so then, so what inspired you then to, you know, if you had all this knowledge, yeah, and you, but what inspired you to go into specifically into the UIF?
Because I felt a lot of people needed knowledge. It's easy to deal with something when you understand the background about it. But if you don't, you start spreading information and a myth that are not there, to say UIF is more like an investment. UIF, they have to pay us for 7 years. And so I just thought, the more you have knowledge, it's easy for you to know how to tackle it moving forward.
Mm. So for those of us who don't even know what UIF is, what is the UIF, and why is it important, specifically for our listeners, for young people, for people going into the work environment?
Yes, I'm glad you're asking that question, because a lot of people, there is a UIF, which is an unemployment insurance fund, and it is an insurance to cater for you for a short-term period while you are still looking for something solid, right? And I want you to take note of the ways that I'm using the insurance part of it, and why it was established is that it covers for 7 benefits, and a lot of people know a lot about unemployment, but it has 7 benefits that it covers for. UIF is not a benefit, it's an insurance fund that covers for 7 benefits: unemployment, illness, maternity, paternity for daddies, adoption, reduced work time, as well as death benefits. And then there is a provident fund, which is an investment fund. So if you contribute on the UIF, you are not investing your money, you are assisting yourself. Should you be unemployed, it will cover for you. It will meet you halfway. Whereas the Provident Fund is an investment where you are investing the money. Should you decide to retire or the job ends, then you can withdraw from that money. I'm not sure if I'm making sense. Mm,
yes. So on that then, to make it very clear, what is the difference between the unemployment investment fund, insurance fund, sorry, you just said it's not an investment, the unemployment insurance fund and other financial assistance programs?
Yeah. Provident Fund, you can contribute as an employee, because I'm assuming a lot of people that are attending the university, some of them are employees, am I correct? Mm. And some of them are employers. So if you are an employer or an employee, you are contributing to the Provident Fund. You can contribute between 2% and 15%. So as an employee, you say to your employer, I want to contribute 7%. Your employer has to top that and contribute 7% as well. With the UIF, by law, it is an act of 2001-63 to say, as an employer, you are by law, you have to declare your employees as soon as you become operational. So if there's a company that now is operational with employees, by law, they need to declare those employees to the UIF.
Mm.
Those employees loses their job, they can then withdraw from those contributions, which is a 1% from the employee and 1% from the employer.
Yes. And then, so who actually qualifies to benefit from the UIF?
I'm glad you also asked that as well. People who qualify for the UIF are the foreign nationals who have the valid documentations to be and to work in South Africa. If you are working for more than 24 hours per month, you qualify. You are a security guard, you are a domestic employee, you are a gardener. As long as you are working for more than 24 hours per month, you then qualify for a UIF, as well as somebody who is working for MUT as an internship. I'm just making an example. And those that do not qualify, if you are on a learnership program, unfortunately, don't qualify for the UIF. People like yourselves, Kai, and I'm sure because this is going to hurt, that you are an independent contractor, you do not qualify for the UIF. If you are earning by commission, you don't qualify for the UIF. If you government institution or your municipalities or the ministers, you do not qualify for the UIF. If you are an SAPS or a soldier, unfortunately, ungakhathele iscreeme ugutse phansi ngedolo ngeke uyithole imali UIF.
Okay, I'm going to jump to a voice note and we can answer a question and then I'll jump back to my questions. Here is a question for some.
Hello, I would like to know if does a length of service with a company depend or not if you can claim UIF?
Yes. Were you able to hear the question?
I couldn't. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
The question?
No, so they want to know, does the time, the amount of time you've spent with an employer determine how much you... Oh, actually, let me listen again. I also forgot.
Hello. I would like to know if does a length of service with a company depend or not if you can claim UIF?
Oh, so they're asking, does the length of time with a company determine if you can claim with the UIF?
All right, EUIF is paying for the last 4 years of your employment, right? Because this is an insurance, and I want people to take note of this. It's an insurance, so it only covers you for the last 4 years of your employment. And bear in mind that you're only contributing a 1%. So how much they're going to pay you, or if you have been working for more than 4 years, you are entitled to withdraw for at least a minimum of 365 days of credit, which is equals to 12 months. But depending on how long you've been working, how much you're contributing, and if you were fully declared by your employer as well.
Okay.
It's an insurance, right? So please, let's make that clear. Because a lot of people will say, I want to resign or I want to abscond so that I can withdraw from that money. Imali ezokunakekela during the rainy days.
Okay. We're still speaking to Ms. Bonambi about the UIF. So I've got a question about you spoke about the different types of benefits that the UIF provides. So I want to know how long can someone typically wait, or how long does it take for them to receive these benefits?
Okay, let's start with how long does it take. Every UIF benefit has what they call a turnaround time when one should submit an application for that particular benefit. Unemployment, as soon as you become officially unemployed, you have to submit an application within 12 months from the date you become officially unemployed. Illness, from the date the doctor declares you ill, after 7 days, you can submit an application. Maternity, they start from 3 months, third trimester, but you can proceed with that application after the baby is born, 12 months after the baby is born. Paternity, as soon as your girlfriend or wife or spouse have the baby in their hands, your 12 months starts to count in. How long does it take on a perfect application? It will take between 20 to 35 working days. This is if your documentations are correctly filled, you are fully declared, there are no discrepancies. You will know whether you are approved, rejected, or refused within 35 working days. The reason most applicants are frustrated and they're not getting paid on time and is delaying, they are submitting supporting documents one by one. Some of the supporting documents are not correctly filled. The a termination date does not match what is on the UIF records. The company name does not match UIMUT radio station on UIF records. You are Mangosuthu University of Technology. Now it's two different names. It's a discrepancy when it comes to the UIF. So all of those minor errors that a lot of applicants are overlooking are the ones that the UIF is taking very seriously, and they do park your application. Unfortunately, it will drag. Your 35 working days now will fall away because you are no longer a priority. They are going to focus on the perfect application.
And so now, obviously, COVID was a big impactor on employment. There's lots of lots of things can affect your employment beyond your control, right? So, have you seen any changes, updates to the UIF or the way that they the UIF has approached that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, normally what happens during the COVID-19, which was 2019 to 2021 max, a lot of companies, a lot of employers who were fraudulent, to be exact, were submitting, because remember, it's a reduced work time. So as they were submitting their applications, they pretended to have employees. Therefore, you have paid a lot of money during that time. Now they are doing a strict verification to say, if you were, your employer said they claimed between 2019 up to 2021, there is a process that you have to do so that the UIF can recover that money. Some of the money, the employers did not give it to the employees. You come as an employee, now you submit your application as an individual. UIF picks up your items. Ay, man, Kanya, we've paid you. Because remember, as they paid, the employer submitted your IDs, right? Yes. To say, I have 10 employees. And then UIF paid as per number that was there. But now they are very strict with the verification process, which again frustrates a lot of applicants to say it's taking forever. It's because they are doing a lot of verifications to ensure that they are paying the correct beneficiary, they are paying for the correct benefit, and they are paying for the correct amount.
Yes. And so now that can all be quite overwhelming, especially when you're entering the job world for the first time. So on a practical level, when students, graduates are going into that first job, what is something that they must ask or something that they must look for in a contract or with their employer?
I would strongly recommend, if there's any student who is about to go to an employment industry or space, register yourself on U-Filing. Department has launched 4 online platforms, USSD, U-Filing, WSSTS, as well as UIF app, apart from the UIF Department of Employment and Labor Work-in Center. They are encouraging applicants to avoid utilizing the manual applications and go to the online platforms that they've created. Go to the U-Filing, create a U-Filing profile. There is a tab called Employment. Underneath that tab, you click the drop-down button. It will say Get Declarations. If you do not see your employer's name or company under that tab, just know that you are not declared. Employers, what they do, they pay contributions via SARS or payroll system, but they do not declare. It's another discrepancy as well, which frustrates a lot of applicants. If you are going to the job market for the first time, ensure that you are registered for the UIF, ensure that your declarations are being submitted on your filing. And the company name, there is a company registration name and there's a company trading name. Make sure those names correspond with each other, because if the company registered as this XA and they register as a trading name, it's a discrepancy when it comes to the UIF language.
Okay. And so you, in your role, you are obviously helping employees, supporting them through this process, giving them information, educating people. Yes. So from your perspective, how has the UIF impacted specifically young professionals through their support or anything like that? And can you share any success stories that you've seen over the years?
I can. Mostly what happens is they do have a financial year end, right? During March and April. So when they go through that, they select a number of auditors to come and check if the amount that was paid to all the applications that were submitted corresponds with what was out of their fund. A lot of people, like I said, during 2019 to 2021, there was a lot of fraudulent because they were paying unaware that some of these companies don't even exist. But now they are very strict. If you go to uFiling, one thing that I recommend them on, that system is very sensitive. So if somebody stole your ID and they punch in more than once, it will lock you out, which means you will have to call this number 0800-030-007 so that you can confirm if that account is indeed yours. Bank verifications as well. They do a lot of bank verifications, especially when they have to release the money. They will process the money that they have to pay for you. Once the application has been approved, you have to submit a COP continuation of benefit, request for payment. A lot of applicants know it as the signing. Once you submit that, they have to do a verification between the UIF and your bank. If everything ticks the box, then your money will be released into your account. They make sure that whatever sent that leaves the UIF fund goes to your bank account is indeed the money that you are entitled to, because per day they receive over 54,000 fraudulent applications per day across nine provinces.
Okay. And so on a little bit of a personal note, obviously we've got students that are going into the job markets, and they can also, we're learning a lot about what jobs are even available out there. So how did you become, and how would one become a UIF practitioner or specialist?
It's a difficult one. Obviously, it's a difficult one because it depends. If you want, it's not, I don't know how to answer this. As a practitioner, you can register with the Department of Employment and Labor, but as a UIF specialist, you need to understand the product itself and understand the back end. And a lot of reading goes into that, a lot of reading. Because once you submit and it is a continuation of benefit, there's a status that you receive back, an SMS to say your request for payment has been successfully submitted. It will be processed within 5 working days. A lot of them take that process and assume they say they're going to pay them in 5 working days. What they're saying is it will be processed within 5 working days across 9 provinces.
I see. Okay. And then finally, before I let you go, you are working very hard on social media to make sure that people are informed and can engage with you. So how can our listeners get in touch with you if they need any, if they have any more questions? How can we get in touch with you?
We, on our social media platforms, we are C for Charlie, N for November, B for Bravo, CNB Community on all our social media platforms. And then for employers, because we do assist with registration, declarations, errors, you name it, I can only leave my personal number with you because a lot of applicants are calling and we have a different way of platforms where we assist. So on the social media platforms, we deal only with applicants, individual applicants. Then on email and the number that I'm going to give you, then the employers can call us on that number.
Okay. Sure.
Wonder- I will leave the number once you're done here.
Yes, no worries. Do you have any final thoughts, any words of advice, any words of wisdom for our young people? Coming into the workforce can be very scary. So, and even thinking about unemployment, we're still thinking about employment, but now we've got to think about unemployment. So, making sure that we're covered on all of these fronts. So just any last words of advice?
Okay, please, if you are employed, do not abscond and thinking that you're going to withdraw the money from the UIF. It does not pay for two reasons, termination reasons, and abscondment as well as resignation. And those who are bursary beneficiaries, if they are part-time jobs or if they have a part-time job, they need to declare to the bursary board that they are employed. If they don't, that one, it will be deemed as they are fraud. they are committing fraud towards the fund. So if you have a bursary and you find employment, please do declare that. A lot of people don't declare, thinking that they are not going to be caught. And at the end of the day, they do get caught. So if you are employed currently, do not abscond, do not resign. Make sure that the employer terminates the service. Only then the UIF will pay. Other than that, they don't pay because you are saying to the government, look, Mina, I don't need a job anymore. I can take care of myself. Whereas with the Provident Fund, you can resign, you can abscond, as long as your employer was their client and you were paying your contributions, the Provident Fund will pay. With the UIF, unfortunately, they don't.
And we don't have to be scared because we can just come to you when we have questions and we need advice, right? You'll hold our hand through it.
No comment.
Okay, thank you so much. We've been speaking to Cindy Swa Mbonambi.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.